following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Gobble gobble on this, man.
Do the bang thing. Do the bang thing.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert.
Where does Tom Brady rank on your all-time list, Greg?
Well, he's awfully hot.
I think Troyton's a queer.
Hello.
13-year NFL vet, Super Bowl participant, 6-time Pro Bowler, Donovan McNabb.
I've been just going home.
Bacon. You know, brothers. You know I'm bacon.
I got
you know
I love bacon.
You're going to love this. Bacon.
As a white man, I have to take a stand. I remain outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
I'm gonna whip my ding ding out.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Romo pumps. He's gonna be set. Fumble the ball at the 40-yard line. And who is that injured?
Romo.
That's not good.
We had a shot of Tony coming off the field, and if you can read lips, you can see here he says it's broken.
Wheaton in an empty gun, throw it over the middle, caught at the 30-yard line, running away, Terrence Williams to the 10, there are no flags, it's a touchdown.
DeMarco Murray had 2 yards, Dez Bryant didn't play, Wheaton takes the knee. Eagles fans that are left boo roundly.
America's game of the week. It's not good football. This has been a terrible game to watch.
It's something that happens. It's the Cowboys. It's an accident waiting to happen because it's the Cowboys.
John, for the second week in a row, the Dallas Cowboys got a win. They got another number in the win column, yet I feel so bad. It was a loss.
Well, dude, all right, yes, you had one of those games in which you lose something important, but let's face it, it's still that part of the season when you're scheduling cream puffs, and the Cowboys got to play a college team.
Oh, the Eagles?
Yes.
Those high-flying Eagles?
Dear Chip Kelly, this is what it looks like when people figure out your little college boy offense.
That's right. Yeah, Donovan knows it all too well. All right, hang on. Let's go here to Reevesy.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be.
Hello, everybody. Reevesy here. Today we have some breaking news. Matthew Berry of ESPN and RotoWorld and other fantasy websites has today handed in his resignation. He has resigned in fear of a new up-and-coming guru by the name of Tom Lax. Apparently he is shitting himself because Tom said not to expect much from Tom Brady in week one. Yeah, good call, Tom. Oh. Ice up, son, ice up. Bang Radio Hour, number 259. Get a grip.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim chim. Good luck, wearable, when I shake hands with you.
All right, first and foremost, I cannot listen to that music every week.
No. I can't do that every week either. I can't deal with Dick Van Dyke that much.
All right, number two, Reevesy.
That's number two.
I said it going into last week, not week one, week two. If you're going to criticize me, at least get your facts straight. And number three, yes, I was very wrong.
Yeah, there you go. I'll tell you what, it was kind of added a whole new level of fun to the show to listen to it after the week had already passed. We certainly do not know what the hell we're talking about.
Well, look, hey, if you're coming to this show for stats and analysis, man, you are in the wrong place.
Oh, you got that right.
I have said it over and over again. If I was right all the time, I'd be a very rich man, and you would all be living in Biff World.
Now, by the way, that now, other guy, that guy Matthew Berry, I just wanted to let everybody know that some other fancy websites that he writes for is something like knickersquarterly.com.
Well, for those of you who have never seen Back to the Future Part 2, you will have no idea what Biff World means. But anyway, for those of you who have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Also, Reevesy had somebody say hello to us. It's our show niece, Chloe.
Say hello, Bang.
Hello, Bang.
Say hello, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
That's awesome.
I love it. That's fantastic. Hello, Chloe.
How old is she?
2, I think. I think she's 2.
Hello, Bang. Hello, Tom.
That's awesome.
That's terrific. All right, that's cool. All right, cool. So what do we got going on this week here?
Well, I want to play this clip from Rex Ryan. You know, they talked all week long about this game with the Patriots, the Buffalo Bills. Man, they were going to tear them apart. They were going to win. Blah, blah. You know, typical Rex Ryan. Right. He was doing what he does. And then after the game, this is what he said.
Yeah, I got an issue. We never won. I mean, that's it. So, I mean, you blame it anywhere you want. I don't care. It's, you know, it's my fault. We talk too much. That's why we lost.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's such a passive-aggressive move. You know, go ahead. You want to pick on me? Go ahead. You want to pick on somebody? I'm 40. Pick on me. don't pick on them.
Right.
Such a passive-aggressive. He's used to it, though, because Bill Belichick beats the shit out of him. I think he's only beaten him 3 times.
Well, so, I remember when he beat him, you know, his first game with the Jets. That's when you made the cartoon, you know, the Looney Tunes parody.
Yeah, I made the Looney Tune cartoon, and that was a fun one. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, you know, he said, anybody else want a piece of me? Right at the end, that was the best. All right, I want to introduce everybody to a young fella over here. He's gone to school and studied broadcasting. He wants to be a sports broadcaster. He was an intern for many months on our morning show here at 99.7 The Blitz, where I work. And now he's been hired by the radio station. We have a couple of radio stations here. He runs baseball games and other stuff on one of the stations. He's about to start doing his own on-air weekend shift on 99.7 The Blitz. And his name is Alex. And he, John, I don't know how anybody lives like this. I couldn't.
Okay.
There's no way I could. But he's a great, great sports fan, Alex is. And he's a diehard, loyal to the bone Browns fan.
Oh, see, okay, now that I can understand, because I am also a fan of a very bad football team. However, when you said, I don't know how anybody lives like this, I thought he was going to go off on one of his homophobic rants there, Alex. I'm sorry.
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Who's your crappy football team over there?
Bang is a Redskins fan.
Oh, well.
Yeah, he watched the game last night. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So how did you get roped into a Browns fan? Don't you want to kick your dad in the balls for that?
It was my dad who made me a Browns fan. He is a diehard. His father is a diehard Browns fan. He's got the original plaque that's like states an original Dog Pound member before the team moved and everything. And obviously, you know, my grandpa would have wrung my father's neck if he wasn't a Browns fan. He did the same thing to me, man. I was just kind of born into it like every other suffering Cleveland sports fan.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, the thing that's funny to me here is sitting here in Washington and other people that are listening all around the globe here on the Bang Radio Hour Sports Network is that all of this pride over being an original member of the Dog Pound really doesn't mean jack shit to us. It's like, whoa, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? God, why would you admit to that?
Cool, you've been a suffering fan for way longer than most people have.
Not. Oh, I know. Oh, believe me, we could commiserate all day, buddy. We'll give each other hugs and drink beer.
He hasn't been suffering longer than Browns fans. Man.
You are a factory of sadness!
Right. Right.
I do feel for you, though. And I'll be honest with you, man. I think they made the wrong choice at quarterback this week.
Hey, you know, you're preaching to the choir here, man. I don't think Johnny Manziel did anything to warrant getting benched, you know, except for the fact that he's not Josh McCown.
Right. All right. Now, so let me ask you this, Alex. All these years, you've been watching the Browns, and I don't know if it's a culture there. That's like the new word around the NFL is you got to change the culture.
Culture.
But what, I mean, is it because the waterways are flammable in Cleveland? Is it, I mean, what is the reason that it's like a curse? My son says it all. He goes, I'm telling you, they're cursed. They're not allowed to win. What is it?
It is. It has to be a curse. I think God's just like, you know what? I'm gonna. Nah. So yeah, that's what he's doing. He's sitting back on his recliner up there, drinking beer, burping. He's got the magnifying glass on Cleveland, that's and just getting right. it closer and
Let's
closer.
Let's watch
and
these
closer.
Idiots run around hot for a while.
Watching us all burn and suffer. I mean, you saw Exhibit A. LeBron James has come so close to bringing the championship back to Cleveland, but he couldn't do it.
It's something wrong with that city, man.
Something else is going to go wrong this year.
I know what'll fix it. I got eight letters for you that'll fix it. You ready? Tim Tebow.
Oh, no.
No. You want to get God on your side, buddy. That's what you got to do.
I bet the Eagles are wishing that they didn't cut him.
Well, he's available. Oh,
absolutely.
He's available.
You think I'm not a vengeful god? Chip Kelly. Not only are you going to go 0-3 against the Jets, but one more donut and it's going to be time to come and see my friend Peter.
I don't understand the point of he is not their future at quarterback. Why wouldn't you just play Manziel the whole year, see what you've if he can be your guy, and if not, you know you got to go get somebody else.
He played a pretty good game last week.
Hell yeah, he did. I was at the game.
That's what I'm saying.
And it was awesome. You know, he's throwing bombs to Travis Benjamin. Freaking Cleveland Browns fans are going wild in the stands, man. That place was a goddamn madhouse. You know, people were loving the success.
Cleveland Brown fans are going wild. Sounds to me like a bunch of fleas jumping off a camel.
Johnny Manziel, that last touchdown to Travis Benjamin to seal the game. Johnny Manziel rolls out of the corner, breaks that dude's ankles for Tennessee, who was on his ass. You know, it was perfect.
Right.
He runs, and because of that, he has enough time to stop and plant his feet and throw the perfect pass. You know, it was perfect, and I loved seeing that he actually stopped and planted his feet. Put the ball right into the basket, man. 54-yard touchdown, I think it was what it was. It was beautiful.
And now he gets to sit on the bench.
Josh McCown's going to come back in and do another fucking helicopter into the end zone. And but Johnny Manziel's actually out there making smart plays. But no, let's bench him.
He's very excited, John.
Oh, I tell you what, Tom, from somebody who has lived through RG3, it's kind of cute to watch it when it starts off. They're like puppies. They just jump around happy as everything.
So your game, John, Thursday night, the Redskins and the Giants, man, I thought the Giants played very smart. They just simply took away your running game, man, and Kirk Cousins just couldn't – he just struggled.
Well, you know, our left guard got hurt early on, and we run to the left. We run to the left almost all the time because of the left tackle over there is so damn good. Trent Williams is so damn good. So they run to the left. But when the left guard went out, they brought in Josh Laribas, who around here we call him Sack of Meat. That's what we call him around here. And he showed exactly why on the first play, getting shoved right back into the backfield. And from that point on, they didn't really have the offense the way they would have liked to have had it. And, you know, credit the Giants. They came in and they got one of a – who the fuck is it that blocks a kick by sticking his hands up in the air? What was he, Black Lives Matter? I mean, what the fuck was that, dude? Did you see our guy trying to block for our punter?
Yeah, and it was a running back.
He stuck his hands up in the air like there was a cop coming at him.
It was Rashad Jennings, a friggin' running back.
I know, and that was a linebacker in front of him with his hands up like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to touch him. They lined me up right in front of him. This is ridiculous. I'm not supposed to touch him. You know, the thing about it, though, the Redskins, as bad as they were the other night, as stupid as Kirk Cousins looked the other night, if Matt Jones doesn't fumble going into the end zone, it's a 3-point game in the fourth
right.
quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I saw a meme or whatever the f- kids call it, stupid shit.
Meme.
I saw one that said that it was a picture of that fumble getting ready to happen, and it said the most Redskins thing I've seen all season, and it's 100% true. Because, you know, not only did he fumble it into the end zone, and it went out of the end zone, which gave the Giants the ball at the 20, even if our guy would have recovered it, it was the Giants' ball at the 1 because it was fourth fucking down.
Oh.
Well, it was just a double screw. That was all. You know, fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck it. We get the Eagles next week. College boys.
Oh, I can tell you this. Boys. You can beat the Eagles with a backup quarterback, man.
Hey, you know what? Just a minute ago, I told you I was going to go take a piss, but I really didn't. I went over and tackled DeMarco Murray for a loss. I saw him walking by and said, fuck it.
I think Sean Lee had three tackles for a loss on Murray, man.
Dan Bailey had one.
That was the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever seen as far as a penalty.
That was the longest gain of the day by Murray. It was 15 yards for getting grabbed on the sidelines by the kicker.
All he wanted to do was say, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, like right in the middle of the game when he's got to get back to the huddle. Hey, 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 come here, dude. Hey, dude. Hey, dude, come here, come here, come here.
All right, so Romo's out for at least 7 games, 8 weeks. They got a bye week in there, so 7 games. So
I heard 10.
Well, I mean, he's got the IR designation to return tag on him, so that means he has to sit for 8 weeks.
Right.
It's, you know, and then they'll see as they get closer whether or not he's going to be ready. I mean, it could be 10 weeks, but it's going to be at least eight. It'll be both Redskins games
he'll be back for. We get you both in December.
I know.
Is it the same side that he broke when that fullback let that dude come free and smash the shit out of him a couple years ago?
Yeah, which is amazing, you know, because with the collarbone, man, it heals stronger.
What?
Well, that's what they say. But I think what that does is it just goes ahead and proves the theory that Tony Romo's a big fucking pussy.
Did he have
to have surgery on that?
No surgery on that. And, you know, of course, Dez was already out. So, I don't know.
Who's going to drop this week?
Oh, who knows? Somebody drops every week. It seems like on every team, man. And that's football. I mean, that's the nature of it. You know, it happens. Yeah. You know, Jordy Nelson went down. Guys go down without getting touched. We've talked about it and talked about it.
D'Angelo Hall last night didn't get touched and went down.
Right? I know.
Hey, dude, he had a Mean Joe Green moment. I don't know if you heard about this, but some kid with a D'Angelo Hall jersey caught up with him in the tunnel as he was getting carted off and said, I'll say a prayer for you, D'Angelo. And Hall said, thanks, kid, and threw him his jersey. Hey, you know, what the hell, man? There's at least something positive coming out of that game.
That's great. Okay, so 8 games, 9 games, whatever it is. Look, this division's wide open. John, the Redskins could win the division. The Eagles, the Giants, the Cowboys, you know, I heard...
you said the Eagles. Get out of
here. No, hey, seriously, man. I say that because of that Falcons game that they played the week before that in week one. You know, the Eagles team we saw against Dallas, the whole game, they looked like the Eagles team that was playing the Falcons in the first half. But the Eagles we saw in the second half of that game was the Eagles team everybody has been saying we were going to see. And, you know, I think that could still happen. And we've got Mr. Eagles fan Eat That Pussy we'll have in the second half. He's going to talk about that. You don't want to blame. Hey, trust me. You don't want to blame Sam Bradford and wait till you hear why. This is unbelievable. But anyway.
Oh, he's got a reason?
Oh.
Because I don't see what the big thrill is over Sam Bradford that they see up there.
Well, I've seen the flashes. I've seen it, you know, and that's what I always look for, these flashes in these guys. I think they just, you know, there's a bunch of new guys there that they brought together. And I think that, you know, it's got to gel. They got to develop their chemistry. But, you know, come on. You know how it is in September, man. This is everything's a lot of things are sloppy and. We'll see. But
again, Tom, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think this is a clear indication of what happens when you get rid of all the good black players on your team. It's as clear as my nose, man. I'm telling you.
Well, the whole division, I think every team in this division could go 500 over the next 8 games.
I think that's fair. I think the Giants are better than what they look. I think, you know, they've blown 2 10-point leads, and then last night... I think even though the Redskins thought that they had a chance to go in and show that they actually could compete in this division, you know, there's still a young team that's got to show where they're going. There's some positives to take away from it, but who the fuck wants to hear about that shit? They lost again. The Giants, I don't think, are as bad as they looked in the first 2 games by blowing those 2 10-point leads. Eli Manning's a quality quarterback. He's just got to get used to the new offense.
Well, Herm Edwards said something on First Take today. I agreed 100%. He said this division will be won in December. And fortunately, that's when Romo and Dez will be playing. So, you know, as long as Dallas is still in it, when we get to December, if they're in competition for it, then they got a really good shot at it, I think. But that remains to be seen, and that's way too much analysis for this show.
This season is like an onion ring, Tom. It's like an onion ring. It's got all the crunches on the outside, and then when you bite in it, you find out whether it's nothing but that nasty old minced onion stuff like you get sometimes from that stuff that's frozen Mrs. Paul stuff. That ain't no good. And sometimes you get that one long piece of onion that comes out and burns your chin.
What the hell?
That's Herm Edwards.
Wait.
That's what it means. Yeah, tell you what. And that means the Jets are going to win this weekend.
All right. So Jerry Jones, speaking of Brandon Whedon, and now you, Alex, you had Brandon Whedon as your quarterback in Cleveland.
I sure did.
But it was Cleveland. See,
yeah,
that's
but
the
our
thing.
Offensive line wasn't terrible.
Well, our offensive line in Dallas is amazing.
It is. It's great. And I believe any quarterback can succeed with a good offensive line.
Absolutely.
If you wait long enough, somebody's going to get open in the backfield.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, not any quarterback. Let's be honest. There's some quarterbacks that are not going to succeed with a good offensive line. I'll give you Rex Grossman.
Well, I'm still not going to say, or I still will be very, very bitter if he walks onto that field in Dallas and throws for like 400 yards.
Hey, he might.
I will not be a happy camper.
Look, I'll tell you what. Last year, the Redskins and the Cowboys, Romo got hurt, and he left the game. And Whedon came in, and immediately the Cowboys started looking better. That was the game when Colt McCoy went down and won for the Redskins. But immediately he went in and threw a touchdown pass. I don't think he's a bad quarterback.
Oh,
I really
no.
don't. I think the problem is he goes into Cleveland, and they go into the river, and they dip the Gatorade buckets in that shit, and they all get sick with whatever it is that infects Cleveland.
Amen.
You just wait until Brandon Whedon panics, and he fucking does his little Whedon flip where he just flips the ball
But he won't have to panic behind that line.
He'll panic.
He was 7 out of 7 for 87 yards and a touchdown.
I'm telling you, he comes in relief, and he's like, oh, look at Brandon Whedon go. Okay. He did that many times. Oh, look at Brandon Whedon go. Look at Brandon Whedon go.
I tell you what, that is like, I think, let me check my list here. I think that's number 4 on the list of things I never thought I heard say. I never thought I'd hear say, look at Brandon Whedon go.
Well, here.
I swear, he did that 2 years ago, Thursday night game against Buffalo. Brian Hoyer was our starting quarterback, and he tore his ACL that game. Brandon Whedon comes in, and he threw for like 3 touchdowns. He looked great. Browns fans rejoiced. Brandon Whedon's back. We went 4-12.
All right, well, listen to listen to what Jerry Jones said about Brandon Whedon.
We've got to have a quarterback that can drive the ball downfield. This quarterback, Whedon, can drive the ball downfield. Now, he's a thing of beauty on throwing a football. His passing motion or his arm, frankly, you won't see a more gifted passer. If he can basically prepare, be the starting quarterback, and come in and execute and keep his head right, then I feel good about Whedon.
And then Jerry went out immediately and traded for Matt Cassel.
That's the funniest part.
He didn't trade. Did he trade? No way. He signed him because, he wasn't on any roster, was he?
No, he traded for Matt Cassel. They traded how did they do this? They traded a 7th-round pick, and then they flip-flopped their 5th rounds or something. I can't remember exactly. It wasn't much. But, yes, they did trade for him. They still had him. They just named Tyrod Taylor the starter, but they still had Castle.
No, I thought they cut him. I swear to God, I thought
that sounds
cut him.
That sounds about right, because I know in the preseason they had a 3-way quarterback battle over there.
Oh, they
in
were
Buffalo,
all playing great.
So, yeah, that sounds about right.
Hey, tell you what, up in Buffalo, anything goes. You take your shoes off, there's a 3-way going on.
Let me just say this about Mr. Jerry Jones' comments on Brandon Whedon there. I got to tell you guys, I read the transcript. You know, I read his interview. My eyes bled afterwards. I just want to know what the hell was Jerry Jones on, and where can I get it when he was making those statements?
He was on 7 out of 7 for 87 yards and a touchdown. That's what he was on. But I'm pissed, and I want to call Jerry right now. I want to talk to Jerry because I'm very, very upset about something.
Oh, yeah. Alex didn't know. We've got the phone that can call Jerry Jones. We've got his direct line.
So let's get him on the phone because I need to discuss this with him.
Hello.
Jerry Jones?
Yes, sir. How you doing over there, my friend?
Tom and John from the Bang Radio Hour.
You know, I can always count on you boys to call me when things are looking bleak.
Well, Jerry, you know, we love to talk to you, and you know how much I love the Cowboys, but man, this is really rough. I'm really struggling here, Jerry, because you know, I told you during preseason, my son and I are coming down there.
Right. I heard about that.
Yeah, well, we told you about it when you were on the
last
time.
I remember. Well, at least the notes that I take every single time I'm on the telephone, Tells me I remember.
Well, November 8th, the Sunday night game against the Eagles. My son and I are coming.
Right.
And so we're coming all the way to Dallas to see Brandon Whedon.
Well, hey, let me tell you something there, Tom. Cool your jets there, my friend. Cool your jets, my Cowboy fan friend. Because Brandon Whedon, I'm telling you, Tom, I've watched this boy play. And he is the best quarterback.
Oh, geez.
The best quarterback that you ever saw. I mean, hey, forget Peyton Manning.
Oh, Jerry.
Brandon Whedon. Oh, no. Listen. Brandon Whedon is like if we took John Elway and Joe Montana and Dan Marino and stuck them all in Tom Brady's asshole. That boy throws a pass so pretty, it'll make the birds cry.
Jerry, come on.
No, it ain't going to be a problem. I'm telling you, Tom, the Cowboys are a well-oiled machine.
All right, listen to me. If we're coming all the way to Dallas to see Jerry World and get this experience, you know how long I've been looking forward to this.
Well, hey, I tell you what, I'll make you a deal, Tom. I know you boys are coming all the way down, and you've been very kind to me when the media hasn't been very good to me. That Ed Werder, I swear to God, one of these days.
He's a putz.
One of these days, that FBI detail that's been following him around is going to look the other way, and he's going to be gone. But I didn't tell you that. It's a good goddamn thing nobody listens to this piece of shit radio show. Listen, here, I'll tell you what. When y'all come down, why don't you play quarterback for the Dallas?
Jerry, come on. Well, behind that line, I probably could.
We are a juggernaut, Tom. We will make sure everything's fine. And hey, let me ask you this. Can your boy catch?
Can he catch a football? He played
That's
wide receiver.
He can catch a football, and you can come on down. Hey, you're white, right?
Yes.
All right. Then you can play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
My son played wide receiver, Jerry. He is a wide receiver. That's his position.
There you go. Right there. We'll give him Dez's jersey. He ain't going to know nothing. We'll hop him up on whatever it was he was smoking when he came out in the hallway crowing about beating the Giants one night. It ain't going to be nothing. You come on down. You play some quarterback. Philadelphia Eagles, everybody get ready for Monday Night Football with Tom here at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, we are in trouble, Jerry. We are in trouble.
Seriously. I'm desperate, Tom. I need somebody to play, and I got payments to make on this goddamn building. I need to sell some tickets. Seriously. Your boy can catch, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, listen. Speaking as such, what your friend over there just talked about, I was on some strawberry mescaline, and if you can send me at least $100, my man will FedEx it to you right away. Gotta tell you, it's fine. It's fine. It comes straight out of Baja.
Jerry. Tell me we're going to be okay here.
Oh, we're going to be just fine, Tom. We are on our way to Super Bowl 50.
Okay.
I'm telling you. I'm going. I don't know about you. I don't know about the goddamn team. But I'm going. I get my way in there. They ain't going to turn me away. You know why they ain't going to turn me away? Because I get a free ticket. And like I told you, like I told you last year, some of those Mexican hookers that I keep around just for owners that come to visit the Dallas Cowboys, they got diseases that nobody can pronounce. And I am the only one with the syringe that can save their lives.
All right, Jerry. Well, I will see you. You know what? I expect an invitation to your personal suite.
Hey, I'm telling you what, Tom. After you go out there behind our offensive line and throw 6 touchdowns in relief of Brandon Whedon, who's not really injured, by the way, he's going to just be taking the day off and hanging out on the beach. You're going to go in there for that fan experience, and you're going to be able to open up a whole new stream of revenue for old Jerry.
All right, Jerry.
That's right.
Get it done, man. Just get it done, all right?
We got it coming this week against the Atlanta Falcons. I sure as hell hope that my contacts that I have between here and Atlanta can take that Julio Jones out and give him something that nobody's ever going to forget.
All right, Jerry. We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye. Bear.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to the Bang Radio Hour official NFL predictions for Week 3. I am your host, Harry Sphincter. And now the Week 3 predictions. Attempting to avoid third straight fourth quarter meltdown, Tom Coughlin fakes doctor's appointment with forged note from mother and leaves at halftime. Redskins over Giants 27-13. In hopes of salvaging fan hopes, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones legally changes Brandon Whedon's name to Troy Aikman. Falcons win 17-7. In a classic catch-22, the Raiders or the Browns, having 2 wins before November 1st, is seen by religious leaders worldwide as definitive signs of the end of times. Raiders win 31-28, showing typical Harbaugh grit and determination to not start 0-3. The Ravens lose their third game in a row. Bengals demoralize Baltimore at home 34-17. Dozens were injured today as stampeding Rob Gronkowski trampled through the crowd en route to his fourth touchdown of the first half. Patriots cruise past the Jaguars 40-10. Amazing stadium acoustics allow Carolina fans in the upper decks to actually hear Drew Brees' shoulder as it buckles. Panthers defeat Saints 28-10. The Philadelphia Eagles are upset after an ice cream cake celebrating Sam Bradford's third game in a row without injury is found melted in the locker room after the game. Jets win 24-14. In a battle between Ryan Mallett and Jameis Winston, it becomes obvious that J.J. Watt is the best quarterback on the field. Buccaneers defeat Texans 26-16. Like Bill Murray in the beloved film Groundhog Day, Norv Turner once again returns as an offensive coordinator to beat a team he ruined as a head coach. Vikings over Chargers 27-20. In a complete misunderstanding, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger sends six drinks and a men's room invitation to Rams running back Todd Gurley. Pittsburgh wins 28-14. During the second quarter of the Colts-Titans game, ancient wide receiver Andre Johnson finishes running a pattern from the first quarter of week one. Colts finally win 27-24. 49ers' troubles continue as they miss the first half after the team flight is forced to turn around when head coach Jim Tomsula worries if he left the iron on. Cardinals win easily 34-10. Promising fans a better game day experience, the Bears win the coin flip and forfeit. The Seattle Seahawks roll 36-7. In an effort to maximize pre-retirement revenue, Peyton Manning will call signals to the tune of the nationwide jingle. Broncos over Lions, 29-20. Miami Dolphins head coach Joe Philbin claims the inspiration behind the Dolphins' run game is watching sea turtles flail their way across a beach at night. The Bills romp, 34-17. And those have been your official Bang Radio Hour Week 3 predictions. These predictions are not to be used for any gambling purposes unless you're an idiot.
VOTech. VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament for practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you can come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi, this is Sean from Mobile Flex, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Bury me with my gun.
Has won over Alabama. The clock goes to 2-1. Make it 2 years in a row. 43-37.
Oh, don't you feel just so bad for Alabama, John?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. And F the SEC. You know what? Auburn sucks, too.
All right. So here's the thing. All right. Alabama was number two. Auburn was number six. You know?
Right.
In the coaches' poll, the AP poll. And about these polls. You know, we played that clip of Steve Spurrier week four last from South Carolina. He was complaining about the Buckeye schedule, talking about his tough schedule because he had to play Central Florida. And
whatever.
I watched the polls turn upside down this past week. And, you know, it's funny because Spurrier's whole argument was dependent on these polls being accurate. You know, the SEC had, what, 50 teams in the top 25? So, you know, there's
no such thing as accurate polls.
Exactly. But his argument is based on the polls because Spurrier's saying that these SEC teams are ranked, you know, just look at the polls. Well, here's the thing. Those same polls that he's using to argue his point, the voters in those polls are the same voters who voted Ohio State number one and Michigan State number two. You know?
Right. And look. You know how I feel about polls. When it comes to college football, that's one of the things that drives me absolutely insane is that they even have a thing called a coach's poll as if any of them have any kind of time to watch the first fucking three games in the fucking thing, much less the top 10 to be able to tell you who's there.
Right. Well, regardless of whether you agree with the poll or not, you can't say the polls are valid for the SEC teams, but they're not valid for the Big Ten teams. It's all the same voters, and it's really simple. You know, what the polls say right now doesn't mean a damn thing, because every team that loses, they fall, and the unbeatens move up. It's always been that way. Look, SEC, you had a nice run, but college football is cyclical. I've always said that. The balance shifts, and you cannot drop Ohio State for a bad game last week. All we heard last year was the same thing about Florida State. No matter how bad they looked, week to week, they were unbeaten, and they were defending champs, so they deserve to remain number one all year. Well, until the Buckeyes lose a game, get over it. You can expect that loss to happen in, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Then you can drop them out of the top spot. Until then, shut up.
3 or 4 years. Shit. Damn, everybody. Did y'all hear my eyeballs fall out of my head just then? Holy shit. 3 or 4 years. Look, man, I watched them this weekend struggle against Northern Illinois. Yeah. I mean, I'll give them their due in the fact that they came out and they had the game everybody has every year where they just go out and lay a frickin' egg. And they sure did. They threw, what, four interceptions or... They had a whole shitload of turnovers.
Five turnovers.
And they survived.
Most turnovers in the Urban Meyer era.
Yeah. I mean, how many teams have you ever watched turn the ball over five times and still win? That's unbelievable.
Exactly.
We're lucky. Very lucky.
Okay. All right. Let's let's be honest here. You're not playing against anybody who can really do much with those turnovers.
I disagree with that. I completely disagree. Look, first off, Northern Illinois beat half the teams in the Big Ten. They would. That was a
half the teams in the Big Ten don't belong in the Big Ten.
I understand that, but this is the MAC champs, and you, hey, look at Brett Bielema. Ask him about the MAC. He got beat by Toledo.
That was great.
Hey, get your corporate things correct. This is the Kraft Cheesy MAC champs.
Oh,
don't forget.
I listened to Urban Meyer after the game. He really did put it on the offensive line. He tried not to just blame them, but he really didn't have a choice because, look, this is the same line that went to the national championship. They can play. They're not executing. He put it on himself and on the coaching. He said, we'll get it fixed and this will be fine. And I have complete faith in the man that's what will happen.
Well, you should. He's the best coach in the country. But the fact of the matter is, teams have this kind of day. Sometimes there's just a funk, and it was a bad weather day. And actually, I'll give Penn State. I was very happy with Penn State whomping down on Rutgers. But Ohio State, I'll give them their due in terms of being number one. They survived. I don't want to call it a scare. You know, I don't want to call it a scare, but they let that team hang around longer than they should, and then they finally clamped down on them and said, okay, that's enough.
Because they kept turning the ball over.
It took a while. They survived it. They got through it. And, yeah, I don't think Northern Illinois is such a bad football team. They created a lot of those turnovers.
Alex, don't you think it'll be 3 or 4 years before the Buckeyes lose a game?
Hey, man, I got to tell you. You know, I think it was a little bit of a scare. Every time they turned the ball over and every time their offense walked out there and looked a little flat and they hadn't run away with the game, it was a little nerve-wracking. I'm not going to lie. But I agree with you, and I agree with Urban Meyer. He said in the press conference, I still have full confidence in this staff and these players, and so do I. For crying out loud, the Buckeyes were 2-1 this time last year.
I know.
They're 3-0. Let's quit complaining, for crying out loud. John said it great. Everybody has that game. You walk out there, and you lay a freaking egg, It happens, yeah. You know? Well, and our defense has played fantastic. Not just this week, the last week where our offense was still pretty flat.
Well,
you know,
the same thing happened to Auburn when they played against Jacksonville State, and they fortunately for them, they pulled out the win. Now, they got beat last week by a good team. By a damn good team. So that's
LSU, don't sleep on them, man.
Oh, LSU's great, but Ole Miss, that's good stuff, man. Ole Miss and LSU play at Ole Miss in November.
Oh,
I can't
wait for
that game.
Game day is going to be at that one for sure.
Definitely.
Oh, hell yeah. You know what? And I plan on going down there and waving my Confederate flag. Because it's about heritage, Tom.
It is.
I am very proud of my ancestors and their ability to completely fuck up a war plan and lose within 2 years and only sustain it for 4 years because that's how long it took for them to chase the rest of my stupid asses down. Oh, sorry.
All right. Well, we got to hear from our good friend Eat That Pussy.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Our Eagles fan.
Yeah.
He.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified because I have an uncle named Eat That Pussy.
Well, that's his name on YouTube.
Tell you what, you always never knew what you were getting for Christmas from Uncle Eat That Pussy.
If you've ever seen this guy on YouTube, he's a great big Eagles fan. The dude's nuts, and he goes by the name Eat That Pussy. D-A-T. Eat That.
D-A-T. Because he's black. So, you know, we have to be down with the urban spellings. Right? Well, I said, doesn't he spell ass with two Z's like, you know, Marshawn Lynch's mother?
Well, what the fuck, my nigga?
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, when Tom says great big Eagles fan, he's not talking about like this dude's a major fan of the team. He means this dude weighs like 700 freaking pounds. They're going to have to cut the building away from this guy when he dies to get him out of there.
Niggas will be gasping for air.
Right.
You are. I'm telling you what, the only reason I continue to watch this guy's videos because his microphone's shot. I want to watch the heart attack when it happens.
Yeah, I know, man. And we got some audio of him because he's way out there now after that loss. And he's overmodulating bad. But you can understand what he says. All right, let's start with he's just really, really upset.
Our offense sucks! Defense fucking sucks! Special teams fucking sucks! Michael Kendrick and fucking King Alonzo! That injury brutal piece of fucking shit! Out for the fucking season! Torn ACL! Why the fuck am I not surprised, motherfucker? And I swear to God, my nigga, any fucking bitch that wanna blame this game on Sam Bradford, I swear to God, motherfucker, give me your address. Give me your address, I swear to God, nigga, where's my box cutter from work? What? Give me your address, please. Hit me up in the DM. Give me your address. Bitch, I'll take a first-class flight to where you live, and I'll cut your motherfucking throat!
Dude sounds like he's gasping for air. He's about to pass out.
Niggas will be gasping for air.
Dude, I'm going to tell you what this sounds like. And if you live in a rich neighborhood, you won't know what I mean. But this is what it sounds like when somebody keeps pit bulls outside their house.
That was hilarious.
Well, I know the fact that, and that's why I told you earlier, do not blame this on Sam Bradford.
He's going to fly to your house. He's going to cut you.
Dude,
give me your address. If I can ever get out behind this door, I will come to your house.
I'll cut your motherfucking throat.
I can't get out of this room or I would come and shoot you. You come walking by my window, bitch, I will shoot you. He's not only going to fly to your house, he's going to take a first class flight. He's going to be comfortable on the way to cut your motherfucking throat.
Yeah!
They're going to make his big fat ass ride in the goddamn cargo bay. Are you kidding me? You know, there's one thing about this video that I just can't stop marveling at is just how much fabric this t-shirt he's wearing requires. Oh my God. Every time he starts flopping around, dude, I'm honest to God, I'm not making this up. His, for lack of a better word, his breast must weigh 150 fucking pounds, and there's two of them, and they're swinging around by themselves.
I'm going to have to watch this video, dude, because I have no idea what this guy looks like.
See, 150-pound breasts got Alex all interested.
I got to look at I got to get a clear picture. I got to take a look at these warlocks.
All right. Here he is. Here he's now he's going to defend Bradford and Murray.
What the fuck do you want? want him to do, folks? He's only one motherfucking person. Our receivers are so motherfucking trash, my nigga. So motherfucking trash. And Dan Bailey, fuck you, bitch. Ain't a motherfucking... Fuck that unsportsmanlike kind of call. You know what, Dallas Cowboy fans? All the credit in the world. You got me. You got all of us, motherfucker. You want some credit? Bitch, I'll give you... Motherfucker! Everything I own! Eagles hats! Jerseys! I don't give a fuck! The Marcus Murray was the product of that fucking offensive line in Dallas! And today, fucking proved it!
Damn right. Damn right. That's what I told you, DeMarco Murray. I said, enjoy that offensive line in Philly.
Oh, man. That's gold.
He is gold.
All I can think of two things. I can think of at the moment when he goes and grabs his left arm, and I'm wondering about who the fuck his neighbors are. Because you know this dude doesn't own a house.
You know this dude doesn't live in a house?
No, he doesn't live in a house. He lives in an apartment, and I guarantee you he hasn't been outside. Remember last year we had a video of him explaining what he went and got before the game to eat during the game?
Oh, yeah.
My God, I couldn't eat that in a week, and I like
John,
to eat.
John, no, you need to go watch, man. He's got videos of him at the games. He went, dude, he actually...
I remember, yeah, last year he flew all the way. He's from California or something, right?
Well, he went to Dallas Cowboys training camp.
He did? Oh, shit.
He went and bought a Cowboys flag, and then he went and stood in front of the bleachers and rubbed it up and down his ass.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you should have seen the people there. Dude, you should go watch it. It's only like 2.5 minutes long. It is fantastic.
Hey, all of you right-wingers out there that listen to our podcast, this is the kind of guy that's using your tax dollars for waste, because you know he's collecting disability because he weighs 900 pounds, right?
Right?
That flag. Yeah, I can afford it. Sure, why not? It's your money.
Here he sounds like he's just completely done with the Eagles.
Why the fuck do I even root for this motherfucking team? Nigga, as far as I'm concerned, bitch, we got shut the fuck. I don't want to hear this motherfucking, oh, well, we scored 3 points. Yeah, I think we scored fucking 2. I don't fucking know, bitch. I walked out of the motherfucking bar. 7 minutes left. I walked out of that fucking shit. Fuck this game and fuck the Philadelphia fucking Eagles.
All right, now wait. He went to a sports bar to watch the game on Sunday. So
that's amazing.
It is, isn't it?
I'll tell you what. Somebody cleaned up on chicken wing sales.
Fuck the Philadelphia fucking Eagles!
Right! Right! Yes! I love it. All right, now he talks about rooting for this team for 18 years.
You guys gotta understand me, my nigga.
Oh, wait. No, wait. I'm sorry.
That's
Hold
his
on.
Nigga.
Hold on.
He went to Buffalo Wild Wings and said, fuck the wings, nigga! Give me the whole Buffalo!
I love that first line, though.
You guys gotta understand me, my nigga.
Your nigga. It's his nigga.
All right, here we go.
I've been rooting for this team for 18 fucking years, my nigga! 18 fucking years! Oh, going hard in the paint, eye black, jerseys after jerseys after jerseys after motherfucking jerseys! I know, he's across the fucking country! Supporting these motherfuckers!
What?
Okay, I just want to just stop you right there, because if you haven't seen the video, dude, he's got a Bobby Hoying jersey hanging behind him. He ain't kidding. He's probably spent about $10,000 on jerseys. In the video, you can see his closet. It's all ripped to shreds because he's probably been in there throwing his 400-pound fit. And I don't like you either, Donovan McNabb. And I don't like you either, Bobby Hoying. He's throwing them all over the goddamn place, I bet you.
Birds all motherfucking day. Eagles game. I wish a bitch would talk shit about my motherfucking team. Supporting these niggas through... If a bitch wants to bury me, motherfucker, you bury me in my fucking Philadelphia Eagles shit. And what the fuck do I have to show for it? I beg, fuck you, eat that pussy, and fuck the Philadelphia Eagles fans. Eagles fans, that is what the fuck this team does to us every single fucking year. And I don't give a fuck who wants to fucking disagree with me, motherfucker. You want to disagree with me, bitch?
You want to disagree with me, motherfucker? Let's go! Let's go where? The fucking the ice cream parlor? Where the hell does he want to go? I will bury you. Dude.
I'll cut your motherfucking throat!
You can bury somebody in your laundry. He can take off his underwear and bury somebody.
Yeah!
I like how he calls himself Eat That Pussy. I like how that's how he refers to himself. You want to say Eat That Pussy? He probably goes to his freaking grandmother's funeral. That's how he signs the book. Eat That Pussy. The Eagles suck.
All right, now he's gonna get emotional.
You guys gotta understand me, my nigga. Like, I fucking love this team, and it fucking hurts. These motherfuckers is like,
it hurts.
It's like they take a fucking knife, fuck a dagger. They take a bit, fuck a knife. Fuck they take a
fuck a knife, John. Dude, that's not what you think it is. That's a heart attack. You've probably had 30 of them since this video began.
Fucking knife!
What voice gets so high-pitched?
That's what we refer to as a minor infarction, you idiot.
And just carve your motherfucking heart out! Every motherfucking year.
Wait.
Will they ever win a Super Bowl? Fuck no. Hell no. Hell fucking no. Never.
Never gonna win a Super Bowl, John. I love it.
It hurts, Tom. It's like showing up at the family reunion and finding out they only roasted 4 pigs.
Can you just imagine if a Browns fan would start making videos like this?
Dude, oh, they do.
They couldn't feed this guy in Cleveland. They couldn't get enough fucking corn down the river to feed this dude.
Well, that's where that clip I played, Alex, that clip I played earlier.
You are a factory of sadness!
That's a Browns fan standing outside Browns Stadium, pointing at the stadium. He goes on this huge rant about the Browns, and then at the end, he points at the stadium and says that.
You are a factory of sadness!
A factory of sadness. Yes. That's perfect.
Dude, I will tell you what. I Alex, I will give you the virtual high five since you are 600 miles away from me. But I completely understand. Although my parents didn't get me into the Redskins, I kind of did it on my own. So, well, my mother did. But really, I understand. Years of pain, man. It's hard to go through.
Well, I'd like to meet the guy who decides that he wants to wake up and says, I'm going to be a fucking Browns fan today.
That's Bernie Kosar. But I would like to meet the guy who woke up and said, hey, I have a great idea for a new uniform design. I was watching What's Happening last night, and Rerun was wearing this outfit, and I thought, hey. He's probably too young to know who the hell Rerun was. Shit.
Oh, here. Well, this
Tom,
is
Tom, you're going to have to show him some freaking, you know, What's Happening videos so he understands the joke.
Yeah, and here's Rerun Jr. with his final words.
Sam Bradford was back there, my nigga. Ah! Nigga, that gun!
Wait a minute. We'll hear that again. Hold on.
Sam Bradford was back there, my nigga. Ah, nigga, that gun. Can you please get the fuck open? I mean, god fucking damn, bitch. Somebody get open. God damn, cuz, like. Oh, God.
The sound it makes when the clog finally clears his artery. He's like those Chicago Bear fans on Saturday Night Live, sitting around having heart attacks.
Heart attacks.
There goes the halftime's cheese fries.
That's great.
Oh, my God. All right, hold on. We just got a few more seconds of him.
In came Brandon Wheaton, shredding our motherfucking defense. Byron Maxwell looking like the sorry son of a bitch-made motherfucker that he is. Ain't about shit. I gotta go piss. Fuck this shit. I'm done, man. Fuck it.
That was great.
Could you, honest to God, I just had the most disgusting thought. Could you imagine if him and Tar Heel met over a bottle of fucking Courvoisier?
Oh, my God, no. No.
That would be unreal. You know what wouldn't be said? Hey, you sound like you got a British accent or some shit.
Flip-flop on these nuts.
Right. They could agree. I would agree with you if I could find my nuts. I haven't seen him since 1989.
Oh, God.
Hell to the motherfucking no.
Oh, jeez.
Honest to God, you know what? The one question that I would have for Eat That Pussy would be, how hard is it to be so fat that you can't even masturbate?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, but you know, if you can't even do that, what's the point of living? You're an Eagles fan who can't even reach your dick.
Oh,
he's probably got a vibrating desk chair. With the money that he has spent on jerseys that I can see back there, I guarantee you he's got a Garcia jersey, and he's probably sold off to Japan. He's probably sent off to Japan to get one of those real dolls made to look like freaking Donovan McNabb or something. That's right, bitch! Take it!
Oh!
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, shit. Welcome to the podcast, Alex.
I told him, John. I said, man, this is not the average sports show, dude.
No, not at all.
All you got to do is go to your website, and you can immediately tell.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what I found out this week since we're on borrowed time, I guess? If you type bangcartoon.com into Facebook, it doesn't let you post it because it says it's obscene.
Really? Oh.
Yes. So if you want to hear any podcast that we've ever done, all right, all you have to do, first off, go to our Facebook page, Bang Radio Hour, and you can find the post that I put up that shows you the link. But it's bangcartoon.com/podcasts/radio hour, and then whatever Bangcast, whatever number you want, and it'll come up.
That's great. Oh, by the way, you were right. You can have a loss in the Eliminator Challenge because I missed last week. I took the Dolphins.
I looked at it. The whole thing is laid out so that you can see who you picked each week. So, yeah, I think what it does is it just totals us up at the end of the year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. So who did you pick this week?
Miami.
I wasn't sure who to. Really?
Yeah.
Miami over Buffalo?
No, New England played Buffalo. You mean the week coming up?
Yeah.
I'm talking about week two. I missed. I was wrong.
I won. I had the Cardinals.
Yeah, I took the Dolphins week two. They lost. Coming up, who I got this week? Oh, the Patriots. I took the Patriots this week.
Oh, really? See, I try not to do that because you gotta pace them out.
Hey, there's no gimmies. There's no gimmies, man. I just pick whoever's playing Cleveland or Jacksonville. Yeah. That simple.
Come on, Cleveland versus Oakland, though? Come on.
Well, I wasn't going to pick in that game.
What?
I wasn't. It's just you pick one game, and once you pick that team, you can't pick them again the rest of the year.
Well, I think I understand.
So, yeah, I'll never pick Cleveland or Oakland.
Alex should jump in there. You could probably jump in late. I took the Buccaneers for the is it an upset if they beat the Texans?
I don't know.
Well, aren't the Texans, are they
favored?
Are they 0-2?
Yeah, they're 0-2, and I don't know who their starting quarterback is this week.
Not Brian Hoyer.
Isn't it Mallett?
Yeah, Brian Hoyer got yanked. I think it was last week.
Yeah, he did.
He got yanked.
And so Ryan Mallett's in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Ryan Mallett. Oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did hear that when Harry Sphincter did his predictions.
Oh, okay. All right. I love those, by the way. We got to have that every week.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen, as if I'm pretending that I'm not Harry Sphincter?
How about you eat that pussy? You want to hear Harry Sphincter every week?
I don't give a fuck.
All right. How do you feel right now, man?
Fuck the Philadelphia fucking Eagles!
Dude, I agree. I agree 100%.
Oh!
Hey, I'll tell you what. How about Todd Bowles, huh? Because I honestly, they beat the crap out of the Colts.
Yeah, man.
I'm sitting with Andrew Luck in one of my fantasy leagues, and I'm wondering what the hell to do with him because I really don't see it getting better.
Yo, I do. I definitely do. Oh, start him this week for sure. Dude, look, the Jets and the Bills, he played two of the toughest defenses in the league, weeks one and two. And who they got? They got, the Titans? Who they got this week?
Yeah, they got the Titans.
I think it's a cupcake game.
Now,
yeah,
I did take the Colts this week.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But when I say I don't see it getting better, what I mean is, better is, kind of low bar there based on what he's done in the last 2 weeks. But really, they can't protect him. He doesn't seem to call the right calls at the line to be able to protect himself when they come up with a blitz. And these guys that they've signed that are ancient and old, they ain't getting it done. I don't see anything going on. T.Y. Hilton can't carry the team.
Well, I think that, look, this is the same guy, and you're back to the same thing we've been talking about with the Buckeyes and everybody else, man. The offensive line, that's where it starts. And if you ain't getting it done, then you're going to have to adjust how you're doing it, and you're going to have to fix it, or he will struggle. But I think they will fix it. It's so early, man. You know, September, God, everything always looks so different in 2 months.
Andrew Luck's going to take over here soon, man.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that.
In 2 months, do you see Andre Johnson catching a pass?
Yeah, but he's really the number three receiver now.
It's low bar.
He's the number three receiver, so it's not a big deal. I mean, Dante Moncrief he looks fantastic, you know?
I don't know. Fantastic is a sliding scale, and I'll tell you what, this yes. is probably the most analyzing we have done forever.
It is.
It really is. But you know what? Hey, you know, if anybody doesn't like it, just let me know on the Facebook page. I think this is probably you got to realize, Tom and I met one another through the internet talking about football, arguing with each other, yelling about what the hell's going on with football, not talking about the stupid shit Phil Simms says, not the goofy shit that we do on this show. This is how we met one another. So if this isn't part of what you want to hear, let me know. So we can tell you to go to hell.
Yeah!
That's right. We're going to do what the fuck we want.
Yeah.
I do what I want.
I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Right. Anyway.
All right. So. Well, here we go. Of course, your game's done. Your game's done. You lost, so you don't really give a damn, do you?
No, well, I'm going to watch football this Sunday, and I don't know who I'm going to root for any of these games.
Well, you're going to root for your fantasy players. That's what you're going to do.
I'm going to root for fantasy players, yeah, in a way.
In a way.
Well, because I got a few Cowboys playing, and I don't know if I want them to win right out, right?
Well,
I'd like to see the Eagles they don't play the Eagles. The Eagles play the Jets. The Cowboys are playing the Falcons, and I don't think they're going to win.
Well, probably not. I won't be surprised if Dallas loses. But you got Julio. I know that.
I got Julio there, and I got Cowboys in other leagues. So, you know how it is.
All right. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm the mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
At Tesco, we can pop our pasta in your Astra, our Red Leicester in your Fiesta, or our mayo in your Mondeo. All you need to do is try click and collect. Just go to Tesco.com, order your shopping, then click and collect. With the minimum basket spend now only £25. And if you fancy something a little more exotic, we can even put our pad thai in your cash kai. Try click and collect at Tesco.com. Every little helps. Selected larger stores, booking charge may apply. See online for full terms and conditions.
Smouldering, slinky, seductive, streamlined. Spellbinding. Ever notice how some of the most alluring descriptions seem to begin with the letter S? So perhaps it's no coincidence that S-Line, Audi's most stylish trim, does too. Take the Q5 S-Line. With its added standout, there's another one, details, it's pure Audi, Just even more sporty, stealthy, sleek, striking, swish, sublime, sultry, swoony, sophisticated. The supremely stylish Audi Q5 S-Line. Test drive yours at an Audi centre near you, or search Audi S-Line. Audi, Vorsprung durch Technik.